This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Mira Sivasodi. In our health and living segment today, we're talking about cycling in the city. With the rise in bike sharing services and the opening of more bike lanes in the Klang Valley, more people can now cycle to nearby locations without much hassle. But does one size fit all? Well, we've heard of professional cyclists, you know, who say that you need the right bike set up for your physique so that the bike sharing model creates a healthier commuter, or will it really create future injuries? That's what we're going to be discussing today in the studio with us for his show for the new year, actually. Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon. Welcome back. We missed you last
happy
month.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year and all round, really. Chinese New Year. And the English New Year. We missed you in January. But joining us also is Ultraman triathlete and personal trainer, Kannan Murugesan. Welcome to the show, Kannan.
Good afternoon. Hi, Mira.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself, Kannan. What have you been up to? I mean, you're an Ultraman triathlete. What does that even mean?
Ultraman is something more than Ironman. I'm sure most people know about Ironman.
Yep.
Swim, bike, run stuff, which is long distance. But Ultraman is more than Ironman. It's a 10-kilometer swim, 420 bike, 84-kilometer run. But I would highlight more that I'm actually been a cyclist in Kuala Lumpur for about 17 years now. Mm-hmm. And gone were the days I used to ride in LDP from Kota Damansara to Sunway 12 years ago, but now, no way.
Okay, when did you give up?
As in not give up, but I wouldn't ride in LDP nowadays. I would go to the outskirts.
Okay.
Yes.
Dr. Haji, what do you think?
Yeah, I get a lot of my work from people who cycle on LDP.
But You're brutal, aren't you?
Yeah, but I do agree. I think you have to be find an appropriate place that you actually cycle. You have to be safe, and it's better than being safe and not sorry.
Okay, but then again, you know, Kannan is an Ultraman triathlete. That's quite punishing to the musculoskeletal system, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely.
I think we're not saying that, you know, it's bad to be an Ultraman triathlete, but what are the, you know, possibilities? What's happening to the musculoskeletal system?
I guess it's not something, I mean, it's such a short word. I'm an ultra athlete. But I think the preparation that they go, you know, they undergo, the pre-participation evaluation that you do, and then the training period, and then the time between events and the event itself, I think it takes a toll on the body. So I think that in his case, he'll probably tell us more, but preparation is going to be the key, right?
Yes, this involves the base training, which a lot of people, the beginners, miss. Even in running or cycling, they miss the base training, which is you got to build up the stamina. Of course, strength training comes in to help the joints and the muscle and the bones before you can go hard.
Okay, yes. And is it as simple as that?
No, I mean, in a nutshell, it probably is. But if you understand the concept that the amount that you put in to preparation ensures that you actually enjoy the event and not suffer so much after.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to suffer. These events tend to cause a bit of suffering, but it will be an enjoyable event and make you come back for more.
Okay.
So I think preparation is the key.
In another way, you can, because a lot of people think that, you know, 10 kilometer is just a 10 kilometer run for a runner. They just think that they can go and run, but they will suffer. But if you trained, of course, 10 kilometer is just another run.
Yep. Okay, so it's all in the preparation, as you said. Our phone lines are open if you'd like to get involved in the conversation. We're discussing cycling in the city, everything to do with cycling, injuries, as well as whether or not it's you know, something you should be taking up recreationally, should you be riding to work. A lot of people, cycling is huge now. I mean, so many people I know are cycling. Some, you know, we have, of course, accidents to discuss afterwards as well. Give us a call. The number is 03-77-109-1000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Let's talk about the bike sharing services. Kannan, mm-hmm. Klang Valley is trying very hard to be bicycle friendly. I mean, we know we've got blue lanes now in KL. We've got bike sharing services where you see bikes, you know, orderly, you know, all arranged very orderly, where you come and pick up your bike, but haphazardly chucked all over the place when you're done with
I
it.
Saw that as well.
So what are your thoughts on bike sharing?
Quite frankly, when they were doing the whole, before they announced the blue the bike lane when I used to go to the city every Tuesday. I was excited because I used to be traveling around and saw these bike lanes. I used to ride in Netherlands, UK. It was very nice. But I don't think, quite personally, I don't think we are ready in the city of Kuala Lumpur to have bike lanes.
Why not?
Mainly because the drivers and motorcyclists who don't give ways, and of course the cyclists it's themselves. Unless you're a very experienced rider, then it'll be good to be able to maneuver into the city. But for newbies, definitely maybe not yet.
Okay, but they have the Sunday car free day in KL and all of that.
That's without a car. But when you have a car, and the other thing is, as a cyclist, you need to know some of them. If let's say you don't have license to drive or to ride a motorbike, so you don't know the traffic rules. So are you going to just ride like you must know the traffic rules as well.
But I think if you look at the newer parts of Kuala Lumpur, I mean the extended Kuala Lumpur, so to speak, like Cyber Jaya, they have very nice dedicated cycling lanes. And I think that the blue cycling lane is actually being painted on an area which was never planned to have a cycling lane. So it's totally different thing. But I think in getting people active, and we need to move forward, cycling is a safe way to exercise done properly. Mm-hmm. And I think places like Cyber Jaya, Putrajaya and the outskirts, they are designed to accommodate cyclists.
Definitely, I would agree with that, especially Cyber Jaya.
Putrajaya as well, isn't
Putrajaya
it?
Putrajaya as yeah. well. But again, we need more awareness from drivers to know how to keep a distance from the cyclists and not passing by very fast, because even that swish can throw us off.
Yeah, I think you need a driver who has at one time been a cyclist.
Yes.
Tried it out, so you kind of know, okay, you know what, I can't be too close to this guy, he's just going to fly.
I mean, well, we have gotten used to the motorcyclists because they're in such large numbers. We know how to drive our cars and coexist with the motorcyclists. Perhaps we don't have enough cyclists to actually learn how to coexist with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Talking about Putrajaya earlier on, it's wide and so forth, but you'll be surprised that there has been a lot of accidents. And let's just 10 days ago, one of my indoor cycling instructors, Zijin, was rear-ended by a four-wheel drive.
Wow.
Broken collarbone and is out of action for about 3 months.
That person was probably texting.
Well, that's the thing. But as a motorcyclist, I ride motorbike, and 6 out of 10 people are texting while they're driving.
Yeah, I know.
It's, you know, if you could get this people to stop doing that, then maybe the cyclists will be safe.
Yeah, it's a very simple thing. Right?
Yes.
We can start with that.
Yes.
Get them when they're texting. And do you think this whole bike sharing thing is a good idea, Harjit? I mean, did you think it was a good idea?
No, I think it was a noble idea. It was a good way to think forward. But are we ready for it? I think it's mindset. I've used this kind of bike sharing services when, you know, touring Europe and all that, but I've never seen that the bikes were not put back at the place and then they were thrown this corner, that corner. I mean, probably there were instances, but they were far between. We just lack. Maybe the fines aren't high enough.
No, it's just awareness of and being selfish, maybe.
It's not just in Malaysia, because I was reading even in Melbourne, they're having that issues. Mm-hmm. People are throwing their bikes into the Yarra River and they're fishing it out.
After too much wine.
Yeah, I have no idea, but what are we thinking sometimes? So do you think it's better than to just do indoor cycling, Kanan, if it's going to be the safer option?
All right.
He's going to say yes.
Now, the pros and cons are there, because I've been an indoor cycling instructor for 17 years, as same time as I've been an outdoor cyclist as well. The roadies, we call them the outdoor cyclists, will never come to indoors because we love the outdoors. You know, we're not going to be sitting in an air-conditioned place. That's not cycling. But I would say things has changed in the past 5 years. Now, mainly because indoor cycling gives the advantage in terms of performance And also, you know, some of the weekend warriors, we call them, only ride so once a week. So yep. In between, we can add another two sessions. And in indoor cycling, we do interval trainings, which we don't do outdoors, not so much.
What is that?
That means you go very hard, very fast, and then you recover. You know, it's just like a sprint training. So you actually increase performance doing interval trainings.
Okay.
And in short amount of time, you can actually gain more. And that's why you may know that indoor cycling burns up to 800 calories in an hour.
Yep.
Because it's high intensity. Now, an hour of cycling indoor could be a two-hour cycling outdoor in terms of comfort. You know, you could be riding 2 hours, you know, it, something like that, yes.
Dr. Harjit, high intensity, he said.
Well, I
burn a lot of calories.
Yeah, but you see, you have to sustain the interest. And the only way you're going to sustain interest in anything that you do, you have to have variety and you have to have changes in environment. So if you're an indoor cyclist, yes, there are a lot of people who do indoor cycling. It tends to be safer. I mean, you're not going to be...
No rain, no sun.
Yeah, but I think that's where the fun is also. I mean, it's like if you play a game indoors all the time and that thing was particularly designed as an outdoor sport initially. I mean, there will be a bridge between both. So I think I'm an outdoor person.
I know, I figured so. But what are the injuries? Are the injuries different when you cycle, do this sort
of
cycling?
Maybe indoors? I'll take that first. Okay, let's put it this way. Now, the acute injury of maybe falling off your bike and knocking your head and breaking something, probably the chances of it happening in an indoor scenario is lesser, but the overuse injuries, okay, of having muscle strains, tendinitis, something more, something that occurs due to the excessive intense workout with very little rest periods, is going to be the same both ways. So if you look at it, okay, I'm not going to fall and break my bone, then yes, you go indoors. But if you want something that I want to challenge myself, I've got variety, then I will move outdoors. And this interval training that, you know, if I'm a weekend warrior and I'm going to have my long cycle on the weekends, yes, I'll do my indoor training to prepare myself, prepare my fitness and my endurance for my long cycle. So I enjoy it more. So it becomes like a hybrid. I think where you look at injury, if you prepare yourself indoors and also mix it with some outdoor cycling, whether on the road or off-road, it depends what's your drug, I guess. So I like a bit of outdoors. So I prepare a bit indoors and then I go outdoors.
Okay, the best of both worlds. Yong, you have a question.
Not actually a question, just relating my, would you term it near miss mishap?
Okay.
More than once. Once was near my where I stay. The passenger, of the motorist in the car, they just swing open the door, is it, without aware that there's a motorcyclist coming from behind or a bicyclist coming from behind.
Mm-hmm.
And once it scraped my one of my legs. So I'm just bringing out that motorists should be more aware of those two-wheelers.
Okay. Thank you very much, Yong. If you have a question for us, give us a call. The number is 03-77-109-1000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We're discussing cycling in the city, whether or not you are doing outdoor cycling or indoor cycling. I do know both is gaining a lot of interest, actually, at the moment. You see droves of them on the Guthrie Corridor. You see droves of them going up Genting Simpa all the way up to Jundubai. And, you know, it's amazing. It's just amazing. I always feel very left out. But what is it? Do we misunderstand this whole idea of cycling? I know I don't like it. And I'll tell you why later. But if you have a question for either Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, or Kannan Murugesan, who's an Ultraman triathlete and personal trainer, give us a call. That number again, 03-77-109-1000. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Meera Sivasodhi in the studio with me for his show in the new year. Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, and Kannan Murugesan, Ultraman triathlete and personal trainer. If you're wondering what an Ultraman triathlete is, Kannan has just explained to us it is a little higher than the Ironman.
Ironman.
Yes, yes, the one that they have in Langkawi, yes, and in Putrajaya, am I correct?
Putrajaya is the half
Ironman. Is the half, yes. Ironman, that's right. Okay, so if you have a question, once again, give us a call, 03 77 109 000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018 78 9 88 99. So I was talking about misunderstanding. What is it that people don't understand or misunderstand about cycling, Kannan?
That cycling, you can just hop on and go out and ride, which should be.
We all did that as kids.
Yes, we all did that when we were kids. Should be fun. But if you're going to go on a road bike, expensive road bike, and then be outdoors nowadays, a lot of other things comes into play. Example, helmets, proper shoes, gearings. And, of course, the bike fitting that we might be talking about afterwards for injuries and a lot of other things which is involved. So it's not just hopping on and riding. Of course, the old bikes that we have, the bike sharing, if you notice you have adjustable, you can actually put the seat higher.
Raise
or
the level of the
seat.
Yes, yep.
Yes. So, but nobody does that. Because we're not aware of what kind of seat we need to put on.
Yeah, because last time we had, I remember the tomahawk. Can you remember?
Yes.
No,
yes.
He's too young, Harjit. He can't remember
tomahawk,
the tomahawk.
No.
Neither can he remember the BMX.
Really?
Did he even know the BMX? I had a BMX.
I had a chopper, you know.
Oh, did you?
Chopper, yes. That's the one. The relay and the chopper, yes.
Okay, so nobody knew the tomahawk.
Middle gearing. We have the middle gearing.
Our bikes had no gear.
But, you know, cyclists, as humans, cyclists are social animals.
Really?
So yes. When you cycle in a group. It's like a pack.
Is that not necessarily the best thing? Do you not open yourself for more accidents?
You do, but you also have better support.
Much safer as well, because visibility is more
increased.
And that's why the cyclists have the very bright jerseys, right, by the way.
Yeah, that's attractive, the Lycra.
So coming back to the Lycra, you said something about expensive road bikes. Does your bike have to be expensive?
Yes and no. I would say it's all on the legs.
Yes. Tell us about the legs, Dr. Harjit. Yeah. What is happening to the legs when you cycle? Or what's demanded of your legs when you cycle?
No, okay. If for outdoor cycling, right? If on a well-fitted bike, okay, you will work out everything. You will work out your calf, you will work out your hamstrings, and you will work out the quadriceps if you're cycling outdoors. He's going to say I'm wrong, but if you're indoors, you tend to work less the quads compared to the hamstrings, because the indoor bikes tend to already have the inertia of movement. Right? So, you know, okay, I'm unfair, but the way I look at it is that you have to be mindful, because the patterns of injury is different. Mm-hmm. So if you are a roadie or an off-roader, if you're on a mountain bike or a road bike, then you have different patterns of injury, and they tend to involve the Achilles tendon at the ankle and all that. Now, if you are cycling indoors, then you tend to get more hamstring strain. So there's a little bit of difference to this. So no matter which one you choose, mm-hmm, if you're mindful that this is the pattern of injury, then you can take steps to actually prevent that.
So how do you prevent it?
So when we start something, we always are mindful to have a good fitting of the bike, the proper attire, someone to introduce you safely. I think that's where he comes in. Introduce you safely to the sport, telling you the do's and don'ts from the word go. It's not like the time when we were 5 or 6 years old and you jump on your chopper bike and you're just cycling, because you also have the ability to heal well that time. And as we become adults and we get older, although we enjoy the sport, doing it safe from the word go is the best way to prevent
problems. Also as children, we didn't do long distance cycling. We just did neighborhood cycling now.
Read it out.
If you don't mind, let me go back to what he said just now. I'm going to have to disagree. I'm going to tell you why. Okay. Because I've been doing indoor cycling for 17 years, same as what I've been doing outdoors.
Okay, I can't beat him there.
Now, because nowadays the indoor cycling has the clip-on shoes that you can clip on. You can actually use the hamstring and the quads. And certain programs, like my program, it simulates outdoor cycling. Now, why I would say it's good for outdoor cycling as well, because I've done, not to brag, but I've done about 11 Ironmans. Now, the first 5 Ironmans that I've done, I don't really do outdoor cycling. I use my indoor cycling to train for outdoors. So I'm pretty sure that would make sense that I'm actually using the exact muscle that is being used for outdoors. To finish an Ironman, which is about 180 kilometers on the bike ride.
Clip-on shoes?
That means it sort of... You
try to mimic outdoor cycling.
I see.
Because you're training. What's your strongest subsection?
I love cycling. Cycling will be the strongest because I spend a lot of times on the indoor cycling, so I don't have to go much outdoors.
Okay.
So definitely, and you may say it's different, but it's actually how you train as well. You can simulate exact outdoor in indoors.
Yeah, so what's important is that the guys listening to the show, he's an elite, so-called elite athlete. So, okay. He's an iron.
You're
man.
On a different level.
A little bit, so different level. So if someone is going to try this, you really have, if you're going to do indoor cycling, then you would need to be mindful.
Learn the proper way. As you said, the flywheel is very, very heavy. You can just get thrown off and not having the right muscle being used. So that's where...
But it makes it very much easier.
Easier. So you don't get a workout if you just do it wrong.
We spoke about fitting just now. How do we do that correctly?
Oh, yeah. I want to listen to that.
Yes. Bike fitting, quite frankly... In the beginning few years, I used to ride with the national riders by accident. So I asked Noor Effendi Rosli, the silver medalist, and Musairi Musa, hey, my seating okay or not? And then they will lean me against the wall and then put at 6 o'clock and 3 o'clock. And they said, okay, atas sikit. And then, I've gotten on that bike fit for many years. No problem whatsoever. But that was the old school way. But nowadays, we got the bike fitting using the laser beams. You got patches to see electronics on the. But the only thing is it costs anywhere between 300 ringgit to up to 1,000 ringgit. It takes about 3 to 4 hours.
But just to get the fitting right.
Yes, but I would highly recommend that if you are going anywhere between 60 or 80 kilometers above and a regular cyclist, then you have to do a bike fitting because... not only for your lower back, but your hand numbness, foot numbness, a lot of things. I've had all this before. So I've had 3 bike fits so far in the past 7 years. And every time it just improves.
So once you have that fitting done, then what? Then that translates to how your bike is set up?
Performance,
yep.
Comfort, efficiency. And everything, just about everything. Yes, comfort is always.
I think the goal of having a perfectly fitted bike is that you don't feel that you are cycling on the bike anymore. It's very natural.
Yes. Wow, really?
But yeah, that's what I've been told.
Yeah,
anyway,
it does make a difference.
There are times that when I started cycling, we did a bike fitting. Of course, I wouldn't pay $1,000 for my bike fitting. I'm Asian, so you get a comfortable fit, and then you realize that certain parts aren't just right because all of us are different. We are not, I'm 6 feet, but I might just have a little bit which needs tweaking. So then you get your fitter or a friend, and there's a slight tweak, and you feel so much better. So
that's
that's the gross way of doing it. But correctly, as he has said, that if you are cycling longer distances and you are going to invest your time and you want to reach certain goals, like going into a professional level or the levels at which he does it, then you definitely need to invest a good money, because it is then preventive. You prevent injuries.
Injuries, yes. That's the main thing is preventing injuries as well.
I've always never liked cycling. It was probably one of those sports which I never really enjoyed.
Because get the padded pants.
Because it was very painful. So, so for somebody who's never cycled, never enjoyed it, what's your advice?
Start off with 20 minutes or 30 minutes because, you know, you're sitting on a small seat that you've never sat before. The common mistake that everybody thinks is because the seat height is too high. That's why in the bike sharing or any bikes that you hop on, they always put it as low as possible, which in turn going to hurt the knee.
So the height?
The height.
What about the saddle? How important is that?
Saddle comes in a lot of different, you know, some has a lot of... cushion on it, but for cyclists we want the lightest because the whole bike will be lighter. Yes, but nowadays there's a lot of advanced saddle that has absorptions and all these things as opposed to in the 80s. It's just very hard stuff.
Can't we just start on a mountain bike?
I think the way I look at it is that if you have a newbie, you have to make him make him or her comfortable from the word go. Mm-hmm. So I think the saddle is important because the butt is going to hurt. The first thing that happens is you have quite a lot of pain there.
Even in the indoor cycling, that's the first thing that people complain about.
Yep. And women have different kinds of pain as well, those who do long-distance cycling.
I think it's the same.
No.
I think you tend
to get a lot of pain at the perineal area. And what my understanding was, even the design of the seat is a bit different for ladies. A lot of guys find that the seats designed for women are softer and they actually use them.
Right.
Yeah, so I think ultimately it's very individualized. Some expensive seats don't really feel that expensive when person A uses them, and then they have to make a compromise.
Okay, so it's not all about the price. It really has to be suited to you.
Yeah, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And the other thing about starting off earlier on, my personal advice, which I give my clients, is start off with a, as you said, mountain bike, because you got an upright position instead of a road cycling. And also, you have an option to go for hybrid. Have you heard of hybrids bicycles?
No, what are
hybrid
they?
Is in between a mountain bike and a road bike. So you have a sleek tires, but with a straight bar, like a mountain bike. So you get an upright position with a sleek tires. You can go fast with a hybrid bike if you want, because mountain bikes has a thick tires. You go a bit slow. So hybrid bike would be your best choice if you want to feel comfortable.
And is that expensive?
If you can find an expensive one, or you can get a cheap one, about $2,000 or $3,000. Yes,
cheaper one is $2,000 to $3,000. What happened, love? We could buy bikes for like 200 ringgit.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, no longer.
No.
Okay. Question from a listener: is it true that men who cycle have a higher risk of testicular cancer? Not your area, Dr. Hajid.
Not at all.
We need George. Dr. George Lee's area, and he has. Well, it is one of the risk factors, I think.
I've spoken to a few of the pro riders. Like, Effendi has 4 kids. And most of them, I doubt so. And that's why nowadays we have the padded pants and the specially designed seats, which actually has holes in the seat. If you've not seen it before, they got holes. So there's no pressure on the perineum, is it? Yeah. There's no pressure on it. So it's soft and there's a lot more safety things. That's why the seats are expensive as well nowadays.
Okay. Yeah, it's got to do with the temperature, isn't it?
One is the temperature. The second thing, if you look at the musculoskeletal system, then you would definitely have gluteal pain. I mean, seated on long durations, and then that's a problem.
Okay. I'm not sure about whether it's testicular cancer or whether it's just fertility, actually, sperm production because of the temperature. We've got to get George in on Friday. He's coming in. We'll get him to answer some of those questions, actually. So we'll come back and find out a little bit more about trauma versus overuse, some of the common injuries, your back, your knees. We've spoken about the saddle and low-impact exercise. I mean, I know some people who have taken up cycling because they feel running is a big pressure on the knees, and so they find cycling is a lot better. How different is cycling from running? We'll come back and have that discussion up next. If you have a question, 0377109000 is the number to call us. Text 0187898899 or, you know, just tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's our Health and Living segment. We're discussing cycling in the city with Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant, orthopedic surgeon, and Kannan Murugesan, an Ultraman triathlete and personal trainer. We're discussing everything you need to know about cycling in the city, whether it's in the gym, you know, whether it's recreational, whether it's competitive, and we're also talking about the injuries that go along with it. As I mentioned earlier, some people have opted to cycle because they find running, for an example, is a bit of a pressure on their knees, and so they opt for cycling. Now, what's the difference, Dr. Harjit?
Okay, I think if you look at running per se, I mean, you may feel that it's increased pressure on the knee, but if you are not overweight, you're well conditioned, then there is no danger to the knee. I think that's a statement that I need to make. Now, the second part of it is that cycling is a good exercise, good cardiovascular work, good strength work, depending on how you tweak it. But if you look at looking at it as a weight-bearing exercise, then it's not a weight-bearing exercise per se. And if you look at exercise for bone health in people who potentially are osteopenic or have low bone density, then the concept is 3 times weight-bearing exercises. So even brisk walking would help you better than cycling. So I think that's very, very important. So that, for me, is it's a key difference between both.
George, thank you for calling us. How are you? Kong Si Fa Chai.
Thank you.
You have to be a part of this conversation. What did you think? Come on, you're on air, George.
All right, okay. People can't say, well, your program is addictive. I have to listen to your program, right?
Yes, of course.
All right. Okay, testicular cancer, usually the cyclists are very young. So whenever they get the diagnosis, then they hit the news. For example, you know, Armstrong, because he got it at the age of 25, but there is no real link. If a man cycles for more than 9 hours a week, and then there's a study in 2014 showed that there's no increased risk with erectile dysfunction. Mm-hmm. There's no increased risk with infertility. That is more than that's about 9 hours of cycling. However, in the same study, they also noticed that there is 6 times more risk of prostate cancer. Its association is difficult to call to discuss the cause, but that's the factual details about cycling and testicular cancer, fertility, and also prostate cancer.
Fantastic, George. Now, you want to share your story with us. You cycle. How do you feel? Are you for it? I mean, you've been hearing this discussion for a while.
I heard you.
Well, my cycling is indoors, so I'm not 100% sure whether that is representative. I love cycling. I really think that you know, it is exhilarating and it's a lot of fun, especially go with a group of people, and it's addictive and make you feel young. So I think cycle. Well, like, really, it's a very good exercise.
Thank you for calling, George. That was Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist, of course, who also cycles. And let me tell you, he's looking really good after 1.5 years of cycling indoors. So yes. There you go, testimony that you can actually get fit. Weight-bearing. There are some indoor cycling classes, I do know, that do incorporate some amount of weights during cycling. What are your thoughts on that, Kannan?
I don't mean to be biased about this, but as a true cyclist and indoor cyclist, I would try to avoid, but there's a popular cycling clubs around in the world which encompasses weight-bearing exercise together. But as a cyclist, sometimes I think you want to focus on cycling only because it can burn a lot of calories anyway. And weight-bearing while you're cycling, as you know, the flywheel is very heavy and it can throw you off. So it could be a bit dangerous as well. But if you are going for it, then make sure that it's a good instructor. Well, you listen well to the instructor how to do it with safe. But personally, I wouldn't do weight bearing on the bicycle. So what I would do is do a cycling class of its own and do weight bearing or strength training on a different day.
Okay.
So that I would balance strength training for my bone density and overall joint strength. And for cardiovascular exercise, I would do cycling classes.
Dr. Harjit, so would you then say cycling is a low-impact exercise?
Yeah, it is a low-impact exercise. If you look at it, essentially, the reason why it's recommended and we always push the cardio aspect of it is because it's low impact. Okay, so it's not no impact, but it's low impact. But we also know that that reduction in impact is not good enough to stimulate to mimic the effects of what gravity and weight bearing. So I think you still have to do something more.
But for some people who are injured, like if their hands are injured, they can't move at all. So they can actually do indoor cycling while seated, and they get their stamina back. So that's how we cyclists would do it in a different way. We want to get back into action soon. We cannot do any weight bearing exercise. Mm-hmm. We'll get the cardio first by being in an indoor cycling.
Right. So you don't lose out that way.
Yes.
What about trauma? What are we listening out for, Dr. Harjit, when it's sort of a red flag and you know you need to stop?
Okay, I think listening to your body is very important. Now, if you have pain, then there's no such thing as, you know, no pain, no gain in this game. So I think
Kanan is smiling.
No, yes,
wait, hold on. Yeah, so if you look at the medical point of view, now, if you jump on a bike and you have pain, you have to identify why you're having pain. If it's just soreness and your trainer is good enough to say that, okay, there's nothing major going on, and as you carry on, that soreness or so-called pain is not getting worse, then maybe you're just building yourself up. So that's safe. Now, if you have pain that as you continue exercising, it becomes worse, okay, that's a red flag. For me, that's a red flag. The second red flag is as you exercise or as you cycle and you find your joints swelling up or your knees giving you a lot of problems, then that's a second red flag. And it's also important that after exercising, you find that moving your joint or part through its whole range is uncomfortable. That's the third red flag. So I think sometimes it's better to hit the red flag and just get it looked at so you can tweak the kind of exercises that you do, and then you enjoy it more.
I actually agree with Dr. Harjit. I know I was smiling because I'm a little bit of old school. I know there's a lot of no pain, no gain. Everybody goes like, whoa, yeah, you know. But there's a different word I would like to use. No pain, no injuries. So always listen to your body. If there's some, you know, wait for 3 days. If I'm not wrong, 3 days is sore. If the pain resists for 10 days, then you might want something more serious. If it's anything more than 10 days, you might want to go and see a doctor.
Yeah, I cut it down. I say if you have pain which is not getting significantly better
within
the first 48 to 72 hours, then don't repeat the exercise and just get checked out.
Yes.
You don't need to come to an orthopedic surgeon or a sports surgeon. You can go to your family doctor, let him have a look, just screen it off. If he says that, hey, it looks okay, then maybe you're safe.
Now, talking about low impact just now, I actually have a knee injury. It's been almost 6 months now. I'm sorry, we don't like to see doctors, by the way.
It's a male thing. It has nothing to do.
I cannot run. Yeah. But I have been cycling. I could even cycle for 120 kilometers without any pain. So that's where the low impact comes in.
But you still have a problem.
I know, but when cycling, I don't have any pain at all.
Yeah, but then how are you going to continue with this triathlon?
Well, I'm taking a break this year.
Okay. But you know, you would have experienced quite a lot of injuries, kind of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
how did you get over that?
Without seeing the doctor.
Through experience, to rest. Because the moment we see the doctors, not only for guys or girls, we athletes, you know, we don't like to see them, because the moment we see doctors, they will say, okay, don't exercise. We can't.
Yeah.
We need to exercise. Yeah. We need to train.
You need to choose the right doctor.
Well, that's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah,
you don't, then you just get it worse.
I think the idea is when you're injured, it's it's necessary to appropriately rest so that you can recover and you can get back to whatever you're doing as soon as you can. If you delay, then the injury becomes worse or the rehabilitative process takes longer.
Yeah. All right. Robert Lim says the Guthrie Corridor Expressway is popular because it has the best bike lane. I don't know, but that's what he says. He says some cyclists think they are kamikaze because they seem to be cycling at night with dark clothes. Now, what are some of the do's and don'ts, Kanan? Some of the mistakes that cyclists make, which does not help them. And it's not necessarily everything to do with the cars or everybody else on the road.
Okay, we always think that just by being in the middle of the lane, even with lights and bright clothing, the cars are looking at us. No, we should not take it for granted. We should always look out for them. Okay, and of course, even at any time of the day, wear a bright blinkers, the one that has lights. You can have as many lights as you can. And even then, try not to wear dark clothes, especially in Malaysia under the sun. You don't want to be wearing a dark clothes anyway, okay. Except for Team Sky, who's a red jersey and a dark jersey which people buy. But even then, they have changed to white color now anyway.
Okay. Just not the cars, but then you need to look down as well. You have potholes.
Yes, a lot of other things as well.
Potholes. Yes. What else to look out for? Manholes.
And just for motorists to understand that we are supposed to be on the most left side, but we don't sometimes. It's because there's a lot of debris. And our tires are very thin, so we can easily get punctured. That's why we don't stay on the left side. So please, don't misunderstand us. We are a little bit on the outside because we want to avoid the punctures on the left side.
Okay. Question for Harjit. What about muscular imbalance? A lot of cyclists have muscular legs but skinny arms. What are the long-term effects of that?
I don't think there are long-term effects because when you cycle as an exercise and you build the lower part of the body, invariably, it's already a healthy health decision. You will definitely then build the upper part of the body also. So I think the way I look at cycling is like you've made a decision to get healthy and you have choose cycling as your mode for whatever reason that you have, whether it's indoor or outdoor. And you will then decide that this is the way you're going to do it safely and it's going to be a wholesome thing.
What's your? You have any tips for cycling and to avoid injuries and stay safe?
For me, it's very simple. I think you can cycle fast, you can cycle slow, you can cycle indoor, you can cycle outdoors. But please cycle. I mean, then you really enjoy.
And as a trainer, I would say add on the strength training too, because there's certain muscle group that we don't use on a bicycle. And the lower back takes a lot of impact because of the hunch position. So strengthen lower back, strengthen the core. And the upper back as well, we don't really use so much. So we need to strengthen the upper back. A lot of other strength training, overall strength training, supplements the cycling.
Where do we do this bike fitting?
There's a lot of places. You can Google bike fit Kuala Lumpur. You have at least about 5 or 6
places.
Individuals or bike shops as well.
Okay. And your advice to motorized road users, Kanan, for everyone to be safe on the road?
As I mentioned earlier on, please do watch out for us. We have families as well, just like everyone else. We want to be safe, give and take, share the roads. Share the roads. Just watch out for us. We'll watch out for you.
Okay. All right. So options, indoor cycling, you can do outdoor cycling. The verdict really is you need to...
Cycle.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. Just get going and go along the way from there. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today. That was Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, and Kanan Murugesan, an ultraman, a triathlete and personal trainer, talking to us about cycling in the city on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.